If you turn to Acts chapter 15, Acts chapter 15, and I'll begin reading there in verse 1. So let's stand to our feet this morning. And again, after our service this morning is lunch, and then after lunch is another service, and then we'll conclude our day as we do every third Sunday of every month. During Sunday school, there was very little people, and I didn't know if we were meeting on Saturday. Here, I didn't have no idea what was taking place. Maybe I thought that we missed the days. And so we found out that, no, we was in the right day, just not the right hour. Amen? But I'm glad you're here this morning. Here in chapter 15 of Acts, in verse 1, "And certain men which came down from Judea taught the brethren and said, Except ye be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved." Father, I come to you in the name of Jesus this morning. And Lord, we thank you this morning that you're God. And Lord, we thank you, Lord, for the ladies who sang this morning. And God, what a blessing to our hearts that it was. And yet, Lord, together, Lord, as they sing together, it's a joyful noise unto the Lord. And Father, you blessed our hearts already with that. And God, we thank you again, Lord, for Mike and George, Lord, and their due diligence, their study, Father, their time, their effort, their energy, Lord, and then they have a degree. Lord, we thank you for that. We pray, Lord, you'd use it for thy glory. God, that you'd use it for thy family. And Lord, that you'd help them to meet and achieve, dear God, their goals that they have set. We ask you now, Lord, to touch every soul in this room. God, everyone that's lost this morning, may they be saved. Everyone that's saved this morning, dear God, may they be drawn back to thee. And everyone that's saved and walking with God, you encourage them to keep on walking. We love you and appreciate you now. I pray you help us to understand the Scripture. Make it real clear to us so that we can apply it to our lives. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Can you imagine this morning if somebody said to you those last four words in verse 1 of chapter 15, "Ye cannot be saved"? Can you imagine if somebody would say that to you, that ye cannot be saved? We tell a lot of people, you can be saved. We go around talking and discussing and even sometimes into debate that you can be saved. Whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. There's nobody in this room this morning that cannot be saved. But what if you was told that as if they were told on this day of this chapter of verse? Ye cannot be saved. In other words, what he's saying is you cannot go to heaven. Man, that's like a sword piercing into the heart. You cannot go to heaven. How about this? You cannot escape hell. You're going to hell no matter what. You cannot escape it. That's where you're headed. That's where you're going. You can't do anything about it. You cannot be saved. That's alarming. That is almost to the place where it's mind-blowing. What they're saying is you are not forgiven. You will pay for your sins, and you are not forgiven from God. What they're saying is you shall not ever be saved. You shall never, ever be delivered. You shall never, ever have a relationship with God. You shall never, ever, ever know what heaven is all about. And hell is where you're headed. It will be your home for eternity. You cannot be saved. Now, that's horrible. That's chilling. That's breathtaking. That's fearful. But that's what was told to the brethren, the Bible says in chapter 15, verse 1, talking to the Christian. They're telling the Christians, these men of Judea who's coming down from Judea, he's saying to the Christians, except you be circumcised after the manner of Moses, ye cannot be saved. Now, can you imagine that, dear guys, this morning, that in order for you to be saved, you have to be circumcised? Circumcised is something that men would have to take place, and it creates and causes pain. It causes suffering. Not only that, but it's a bloody ordeal. You know, when God told Moses, and I'm going to make a covenant with God, with Israel, and we're going to make it a circumcision covenant, he was saying to Moses and to all of Israel that my covenant between you and I is through a blood covenant. There will be circumcision involved. Jesus Christ, when he died on the cross of Calvary, was that sacrifice. Amen? And so we find today that each place that God presented to man, it was always a sacrifice of blood. Jesus was that final atonement for that. Now, if I say to you, you cannot be saved, that's a horrible thing, but I believe we ought to know that there was a Paul here, and Barnabas, and Peter, and James, and those of Jerusalem that came together in a way of a council to say to those men of Judea, you are not correct in this thought of being saved. So we have to find out today, if you cannot be saved except you're circumcised, according to verse 1, then we must know, how can you be saved then? Because at this point, verse 1, none of us are saved unless you're circumcised. But that's not what God's Word teaches. We find that after the council came together, and we find there in the chapter 15, and about around chapter 15, verse 5, I want you to notice what is being said there as we read this morning. But there rose up certain of the sect of the Pharisees, which believed, saying that it was needful to circumcise them and to command them to keep the law of Moses. And the apostles and elders came together for to consider of this matter. And when there had been much disputing, Peter rose up and said unto them, men and brethren, you know how that God made choice among us that the Gentiles by the mouth should hear the word of the gospel and believe. Peter is saying to all of them, this is how God has chosen that the Gentiles be saved. Well, how is that? Well, here's number one. They have to be presented a clear meaning of the gospel. You see what Peter is saying in verse 7? He said that God said by mouth should hear the word of the gospel. You see, you can't be saved unless you hear the clear presentation of the gospel, of the meaning of the gospel. Peter says, listen, you say that you have to be circumcised and you got to keep the law of Moses plus Jesus in order to be saved. I say that God said all you have to do is hear the gospel and believe. And so this morning we want to know, how can we be saved? How can we go to heaven when we die? How can we escape hell? How can we have our sins forgiven? How can I have a relationship with God? How can I live a life that is pleasing unto the Lord? How can these things be? And Peter said, God said, you got to hear the word of the gospel. Now, where was he talking about and when was he talking about? We'll turn to chapter 10 and verse 36. Because Peter is given to them, you know that a good while ago, so he's talking about some time prior to chapter 15. He's talking about chapter 10. This is when God has chosen to make the Gentiles part of his plan, or gave them the word of God. And so chapter 10 in verse 36, the Bible says, now there was at Joppa, I'm sorry, chapter 10 verse 36 says, the word which God sent unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ, he is Lord of all. And can I say to you that God is saying to you and I this morning, we can be saved. But in order for us to be saved, there's going to have to be peace between you and I. What do you mean? We'll turn to Colossians chapter 1 with me this morning. Because as all of us this morning, we're born sinners, we're born in sin, but we're more than that. The Bible teaches us there in chapter 1 of Colossians in verse 19. It says, for it pleased the Father that in him should all fullness dwell. And having made peace through the blood of his cross, by him to reconcile all things unto himself, by him, I say, whether they are things on earth
are things in heaven. Look at verse 21 now. Look at what God says. He says, and you that were sometimes alienated and enemies in your mind by wicked works, yet now hath he reconciled. Did you know that if you're not saved this morning, and did you know that when you come out of your mother's womb, that you're an enemy of God? Did you know this morning, in order for you to be saved, you got to have peace between you and God? You might have heard this in life, and people coming to the end of their lives, and they would say, they make this statement, have you made peace with God? Have y'all heard that before? People say that, older people say that these days. The newer people don't say it because they're not concerned with it. But the older folks would say, hey, have you made peace with God? And all that is saying is this, you this morning that is 5 years old, and you this morning that is 500 years old. Friend, you got to come to a place in your life, friend, where you make peace with God. And you got to know that I have to make peace with God because I'm an enemy of God by my works and by my life and by my imagination and by what I do and by what I say and by what I want and how I live and the things I touch and the things I drink and the things I hear and the things I look upon. There has to be peace between me and God. And the Bible says that that peace comes only by Jesus Christ. You not have peace with God in any other way but through Christ. So we find in the Scripture in Romans chapter 5. Turn with me there and look in verse 8. Romans chapter 5 in verse 8. Well, listen to these rich Scripture that comes to us today and tells us truth concerning peace. The Bible says of chapter 5 of Romans 8, but God commendeth His love toward us, in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. That's hell. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by His death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only so, but we also joy in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, by whom we have now received the atonement. So what's he saying? We were enemies. We were adversaries. We are opposers of God. Everyone in this room this morning, it don't matter what age you are, if you've never been saved and born again, you're an opposer of God. You're an opposer of the church. You're an opposer of the Bible. You're an opposer of what's right. You're an opposer, you're an adversary, you're an enemy. And friend, you need peace between you and God. That's what Peter's telling them. And Jesus Christ, back in Acts chapter 10, in verse 36, he said, the word which God sent, this is God's word sent, unto the children of Israel, preaching peace by Jesus Christ. He is Lord of all. And so now we're learning how to be saved. We're learning right up front that the reason why I need to be saved, the reason why I must be saved, is because between me and God is sin. And that makes me an enemy of God. That makes me an opposer of God. Somehow, some way, here I am and here God is, and I can't get to Him because of my sin. I can't get to Him because I'm an enemy of His. I've got to get to God to be saved. How do I do that? Through Jesus Christ. That's how you do that. And in Christ, you'll find peace with God. You'll find reconciliation with the Lord. You'll find a relationship so sweet and so true. Oh, you'll find a redemption that the world can't take away because the world didn't give you. You'll find a life of joy and contentment. Oh, you'll find in your life, friend, a power to overcome. And you'll find in your life, friend, through tribulations and difficulties and troubles of life, you'll find that Jesus Christ will give you the strength and the knowledge to not only fall under it, but to overcome it. Peace. Peace. Oh, Peter is telling those people who say that you have to get circumcised in order to be saved. Sir, listen. No, what you need is you need peace. and it comes through Jesus Christ. But then he talks about power. He says in Acts chapter 10, verse 36, he presents to them the power of how to have peace. And that power is Jesus Christ. He said he's the Lord of all. In verse 38, he says how God anointed Jesus. Now look what he says. God anointed Jesus. God sent well ago, but now God's anointing Jesus of Nazareth, whom the Holy Ghost and with power, who he went along doing good and healing all that were oppressed of the devil, for God was with him. You see what Peter's saying to those people? You say that you got to be circumcised. You got to have your foreskin of every male to be removed, creating great suffering and great pain and of great blood. But I say, according to God, he sent unto us, the children of Israel, he sent unto us peace through Jesus Christ. But the power of this salvation is in Jesus because he's Lord of all. The power of this salvation is in Jesus because he's anointed of God. He's the one, according to the scripture in John chapter 1, that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. Amen? According to 1 Timothy 3:16, the Bible says that the God was manifested in the flesh. And according to the scripture this morning, that it was the power of God Himself that went to the cross of Calvary, and God Himself became sin for you and I, and God Himself paid the payment that God required, and God Himself rose on the third day, and God Himself is the one today who's the power of salvation, not circumcision, but God in Jesus Christ. So the power of this salvation is in Christ. The very peace of this salvation is in Christ. I think Peter's making a well-known statement, isn't he, about what it really means to be saved. See, if you had to get circumcised, friend, you cannot be saved. Oh, but if you can trust Jesus, you can be saved. Why Jesus? Oh, because he's the one who brings peace between him and his Father. He's the one that God has sent forth. He's the Lord of all. He's the one anointed. But not only is there power, but there's payment. In Acts chapter 10, verse 39, it says, "For we are witnesses of all things which he did both in the land of the Jews and in Jerusalem, how they slew and hanged him on a tree." And so, if you and I that are born in sin and of sin, and you and I, we sin by will, and we also sin by desire this morning, we find ourselves, the Bible says in Romans 3, verse 23, "For all have sinned and come short of the glory of God." But the Bible also says that it was Jesus Christ that died on the cross, and he's the payment. He's the payment. The Bible says in Hebrews chapter 1, in verse 3, "By himself he purged our iniquity." Friend, the power is not in circumcision. The payment is not in circumcision. The payment is in Christ. He's the one that hung on a tree. He's the one that was placed up there. He was the one that was beaten. He was the one that was spit upon. He's the one that was slapped. He's the one that was ridiculed. He was the one that they confessed to be of Beelzebub, of a drunkard, of a wine bibber. He's the one they said he was a sinner. He's the one that died on the cross of Calvary. He's the payment. According to what Peter's saying. Peter's telling them, you can be circumcised all you want to, but the payment for sin is Jesus. You can be baptized all you want to, and some of y'all are saying, "Well, I was baptized. Whoopity-doo, flippity-flip. Who gives a rip? You can be like a tadpole and get baptized every day if you want to." I remember I was young. I was going to the Church of Christ, and they get baptized all the time. That's why they call them water dogs. I mean, listen, friend, when I was going to the Church of Christ, I went down there. If you said a cuss word that week, you got in front of the church, and man, I was always in line. They'd make a line. Preacher would stand right here. And you say, okay, anybody sin this week? And they raise their hand and say, okay, let's get in line. And your line starts back up here, goes like that, and goes to the door and through the baptistry, and you come out and sit back down. That's how it worked on Sunday. And so you raise your head, well, come on up here. Then you get up here, you say, okay, well, this week I said a dirty word. All right, well, did you ask God to forgive you? Yeah, I asked God to forgive you. All right, well, let's go through the baptistry. And so we walk around here, go in the baptistry, get dunked, come back out, put my clothes on, get back out and do that. Every week, I didn't get saved years after that. You know why? Because water dogs are not saved. Friend, you get saved because Jesus is the payment, not water. Membership. There's people who believe membership is salvation. They believe as long as you belong to the Catholic Church, friend, you're going to heaven. I'm sorry, that's not true. Your daddy could be Pope, but that don't mean anything. I can say to you this morning, friend, you might be of a Muslim faith, you might be of a Hindu faith, you might be of some kind of Buddha faith, you might be a Jehovah's Witness or some kind of Mormon, you might be Seventh-day Adventist, you might be Church of Christ, Pentecost, full gospel, you might be a holy roller, you might be as a Presbyterian and anything and everything else out there. There's about 326 of them. And friend, you might be any of that. And no church membership is the payment for sin. Jesus is the payment of sin. You can join up to all the churches around here if you want to. I was asked a question this week. I believe this guy at my work is a homosexual. He never said that he was, but he asked a question. He said, if two homosexuals come to your church, would you receive them? I said, absolutely. Absolutely. I said, two drunkards come to my church, I'll receive them. Two adulterers come to my church, I'll receive them. Two fornicators come to my church, I'll receive them. Two thieves come to my church, I'll receive them. Two murderers that come to my church, I'll receive them. Wait a minute. You're putting all of murderers and adulterers and thieves and drunkards all in the same category as homosexuals, and they didn't like that. What they did, they disagreed. They disagreed with what God said back in Genesis. He said, I created male and female. God didn't create a male to live like a female. What? Where in the world did you get that from? God didn't make a female to look like a male. There are some things about a female and some things about a male that you just look upon and know what gender they are. You can cut it out, you can cut it off, you can shape it up, you can do whatever you want, but friend, you are female at all times. The Bible says, woman and man I created, refurbish. No, he didn't say refurbish. He said for you to replenish, not refurbish, replenish the world. Amen? All I'm saying this morning, church membership does not do the payment for your sin. All I say this morning, Peter is saying, all I'm doing is echoing what Peter said, because Peter's giving them an answer according to chapter 15. He said, God, time ago, long time ago, this is the time ago I'm talking about. This is what God said. God said, I preach peace through Jesus Christ. God said, I anointed Jesus, amen. He's the power of salvation. And God said, He's the payment of salvation. Fourthly, the paramount is with Jesus. In Acts chapter 10 and verse 40, Him God raised up the third day and showed Him openly. The paramount of this salvation is Jesus is alive. Jesus is active, and Jesus is almighty. Amen? If you want to go to the Muslim faith and have compassion towards that, its leader, Muhammad, is dead. Still dead. I mean real dead. I mean, he's so dead that his bones by now is probably becoming to dust, if not the worms are getting fat or eating on him. You want to go in the way of Confucius? You want to go in the way of Buddha? If you want to go in the way of some other beginner of some religion, Fred, of other religions out there, you can choose who him this day, who you will serve. But you know this, the paramount of the salvation that I'm preaching this morning is that my God, my Lord, my Savior, my Redeemer has arisen from the grave. He sits on the right hand of the Father this morning. He's alive. He's well. And Fred, he's active. Fred, you can go get circumcised if you want to. You can get baptized if you can. You can join up this church if you'd like. And friend, you can do all of the things you want to do. But unless you come to Jesus, then you'll have peace with God. You have forgiveness of your sin. And that Jesus Christ is the payment. He's the paramount of it because he's alive. So we see that Peter just kind of cut that. Boom. He said, let me take care of this thought. How to be saved. We find, look back into our text of chapter 15, verse 7. It's not only do you have to hear a presentation, and I just gave it to you, of what Jesus did, but now you got to believe it. Verse 7 says, you should hear, and I told you about Christ just now, the word of the gospel and believe. Now, this is where it comes in that you get saved. See, you can hear the word of the gospel. I can tell you, and you can even believe in your mind, that Jesus died on the cross. I would suspect that everybody in this room this morning, if I ask you on the way out in just a few minutes, that do you believe in Jesus, I would think you'd say yes. But that don't make you saved. You got to believe. Amen. That's what it says in the Bible. Believing this morning is not knowing something or not thinking something, but it's experiencing something. I say to you, you got to be persuaded of the clear message of the gospel. The Bible says in verse 11, he says it like this, you got to trust in Jesus Christ. That's what that word believe means. It means trust. Look at verse 11. For we believe that through the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ, we shall be saved. Trust. We believe that we trust in the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ. You see, grace this morning is given to you what you don't deserve. None of us deserves heaven. None of us deserves the forgiveness of sin. None of us today deserves the blood of Jesus on our account. But if you have it because you put faith and trust in Jesus this morning, it's the grace of God. So you got to be persuaded that this Jesus was born of a virgin, this Jesus lived a sinless life, that this Jesus went to the cross of Calvary, this Jesus died and was actually buried, and this Jesus physically resurrected. And that this Jesus is ascended unto heaven and sits on the right hand of the Father. He's alive and active today. Do you put your trust in that? Not just do you know it. Not just I've heard of it. But do you put trust in it? Do you trust it? What does it mean to trust something? Well, if I put a chair up here, say this is the chair, and I say you look forward, and I'm back here behind the chair, and if when you sit down, it may be there, it may not be there. You got to trust me. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? You're going to say, well, I don't know about that. I think I'm just going to stand. There's no trust. You're going to die and go to hell. You're not trusting. You say, okay, I'm just going to trust you. And you sit down. Amen? That's how you do. Trust. Take the step of faith. Say, Lord, not only do I know that you love me, but Lord, I'm trusting you. I'm entrusting my soul into you. Lord, I am committing my life to you. I am surrendering all that I am to you, Lord. I'm trusting you that your grace and my faith and the blood of the Lamb has forgiven me of my sins, has wrote my name in the Lamb's book of life. And when I die, I go to heaven because I put my trust in Jesus. It's not just the knowledge, not just the understanding, but the trust. But then also, there's another portion that in persuasion of this gospel that you hear is trusting it, but turning to it. Look at verse 19 of chapter 15. It says, wherefore my sentence is that we trouble them not, which from among the Gentiles are turned to God. That's repentance. Repentance. So how do I get saved? Well, you got to be presented the gospel. But then you got to be persuaded of the gospel. And what do I do when I get persuaded of it? You trust in Jesus. But then you turn to God. That's repentance. This morning, if you walked in and you're believing that your salvation was based upon that prayer you prayed, and this morning you say, you know what, I'm going to turn from that and I'm going to turn to God. That's repentance. You'll get saved like that. You come in here and say, well, I believe that my membership at another church or my belief of another God or my belief or something else, I understand now that it's wrong. I understand that it's not right. I understand that Jesus and Jesus alone today is for salvation. And so I'm going to turn to Christ. I'm going to turn to God. And I'm going to turn to Him. That means everything else I believed, everything else that I achieved, all that I have done, all that I am, all that I will be, is now put behind me, and I'm now looking to God. That's repentance. Change heart. Change mind. Change life. So you can't hold on to your God and come to God too. You can't hold on to your sin and come to God too. When you say, I'm going to trust in Jesus and I'm going to turn to God, in other words, you're saying, I'm going to lay down my sin. I'm going to lay down my adulterous life. I'm going to lay down my cussing. I'm going to lay down my dirty jokes. I'm going to lay down lusting after girls. I'm going to lay down my pornography, looking at naked women and naked things. I'm going to lay down my life of living, of lying and being dishonest, and of alcoholism and drugs and stealing and being dishonest. I'm turning from all of that, and I'm turning to God. That's how you get saved. Well, it's not by being circumcised. It's not by being baptized. It's not by being of a membership. It's not of good works of any kind. Peter's giving a clear presentation. And now you've got to believe it. Amen? That's how you be saved, and there's no other way to know it. Can I say secondly this morning? Not only to how you be saved, but who can tell if you're saved? That's a good question. Can anybody in this room tell you that you're saved? No. Can anybody in this room tell you that you're not saved? No. Who then knows who is saved? Well, won't you look at the next verse, verse 8. And God, which knoweth the hearts, bear them witness, giving them the Holy Ghost, even as He did unto us. Number one, when you come to the place of hearing the gospel, and you're coming to the place of being persuaded, do I trust this gospel? Do I turn to God? What do I do? You're in that valley of decision. You're going to make a choice. You're going to make one this morning. We're going to give you opportunity in just a moment or two so that you can make a choice that I'm going to turn to God and I am going to trust Jesus as my Lord and Savior. But who knows that? God does. See, God will explore your heart. Right now, God's looking into your heart. Right now, God's exploring in the depths of your heart right now. God's looking. God's seeking. God's searching. God's looking. God's see if there's any faith there. God's searching to see if there's any repentance there. You see, this morning you could come down and say, Brother Larry, I want to be saved. Brother Larry, I want to trust Jesus and I want to turn to God. But really down deep in your heart, it's not really true. It's not really right. You're not really ready to give over your sin. You might come up to me and you might fake me out. You might fake the church out. And you'll go your way and you'll do your thing and die and go to hell. So how does somebody get saved? Well, it's going to come to a place when who knows that you're saved. And it's God that explores the heart. See, He's looking inside each one of us this morning. He's looking for faith. He's looking for repentance. He's looking, if you're really serious and sincere about Him. See, I can't do that. Nobody around you can do that. You know, and most of all, God knows. Now, when He finds a heart that is looking and seeking faith, He finds a heart that has repentance upon it, then He will bear them witness. In other words, God will empty that heart, and then He will assure it of faith. He will report it of faith, and He'll reveal it with faith. In other words, you're sitting in this room. I remember October 30th, 1988, back on a Wednesday night, listening to the preaching of God's Word, being presented the gospel of God, and then I had to either believe it or disbelieve it. I believed it on that day, and when I believed on that day, it's because God done researched my heart. God done explored my heart. He seen down deep in my heart that I wanted to trust Jesus as my Savior, and I wanted to turn from my sin, and I wanted to turn from my old way of life, and I wanted to give all to Jesus. And then within me, as He will do with you, on that day of salvation, He will bear witness with you. And that small, still voice will say, I see it. I know it. That's you. I see it. And God will bring over to you Him in the way of bearing witness with you that, yes, you're ready. You're ready. I see your heart. I see what's in it. I've studied it out. You're for real. And He bears witness of that. But then look at the verse. He says, once He bears witness of that heart, He says, then what does He do? He gives them the Holy Ghost. Man, without the Holy Ghost this morning, you're not His. But God's not going to give the Holy Ghost to anybody who He does not explore first. Until He bears witness with you that you are in faith and you are in repentance, I'm talking about your heart, then God says, okay, now I will give you the Holy Ghost. And by giving you the Holy Ghost, you become saved. It's not the words you pray. It's not the step you take. It's not all the feeling you got. I remember a guy who said he wanted to be saved, and I've worked with him for over 3 years at Parker Baptist Church. And finally, one day he came to me and said, okay, Brother Larry, I think I want to be saved. I said, okay. He said, but, you know, with me getting saved, am I going to feel something? I said, not necessarily. I said, you might, you might not. I don't know about feeling anything, but I know there'll be assurance that comes over you. I mean, that's that bear witnessing. He said, okay, I'm ready. He bowed his head, he prayed, and asked Christ to come to his heart and save him, and asked God to be his Lord, his life, and he went on about 2 or 3 weeks later, come to me, he said, man, I don't feel it. I said, man, it's not about feeling it. It's about living it. I said, Lord, when you prayed the other day, did God give you that assurance in your heart? Did God bear witness of what you're wanting and what God wants? Did it come together? He said, I know it came together. I said, then live for God. Stop worrying about the feelings. Some of you think, well, I got to have a little tingling on my back. I got to have, my hair's got to stand up. You know, I got to feel like I go, woo, or something like that. You know, there's something about, I mean, that, none of that is worth anything. We find, according to Scripture, who knows you're saved? God. He sees the heart of faith and repentance. He bears witness with it with you, and then He gives you the Holy Ghost. God. Amen? So we find in that situation, he enters into the heart. And then lastly, when do you get saved? Look at verse 9. He says, and put no difference between us and them, purifying their hearts by faith. You get saved when your hearts get purified. In other words, your heart will become cleansed. That's when you get saved. You don't get saved by praying. You don't get saved by coming up here. You don't get saved by changing your life. You don't get saved because you quit smoking and drinking and cussing. Those things don't save you. What saves you is when your heart gets purified. And your heart can only get purified is when the blood of Jesus is applied to your heart. And the blood of Jesus cannot be applied to your heart until you trust Jesus as Savior, until you turn to God in repentance, and then the Holy Ghost of God comes into you and dwells in you, and your heart is purified, meaning that your heart is cleansed. Now, is your heart cleansed? That word purified means your head is cleared. It's all together now. Not confused. Your life is changed. Faith in the Lord Jesus Christ by grace of the Lord. He says, we shall be saved. Just like He saved the Jews in the beginning is how He saves you and me today. Look at verse 8. Last portion. Even as He did unto us. Look at verse 9. There is no difference between us and them. Look at verse 11. Even as they. He saved the Jews. He saves the Gentiles today as well. There in verse 7, he says, how that a good while ago God made choice among us that the Gentiles by the mouth should hear the word of God, the gospel, and believe. God did that. Verse 14, Bible says Simeon had declared how God at the first did visit the Gentiles. God did that. Verse 17, that the residue of men might seek after the Lord, and all the Gentiles upon whom my name is called, saith the Lord, who doeth all these things. Verse 18, known unto God all are all His works from the beginning of the world. Wherefore my sentence is that we trouble not them which are among the Gentiles, or turn to God. Whether you're Gentile, whether you're Gentile or Jew today, you can be saved in Christ. One more verse and we'll close. Galatians chapter 3. So don't let you being a Gentile this morning or being a Jew be a distraction. The Bible says in Galatians 3 verse 26, for ye are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. You ever heard this? We're all children of God? That's not true. We're not all children of God. We're all created by God. We're not all children of God. Don't let nobody deceive you in that manner. We are not. Here's the answer right here. We are all the children of God by faith in Christ Jesus. If you're saved, you're a child of God. If you trusted Jesus and turned to God, you're saved and you're a child. If not, you're not. Bible says in verse 27, for as many of you as have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ, that neither Jew nor Greek, that's Gentile, there is neither bond nor free, for there is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. That's how we become one. That's how we become children of God. That's how we become saved. Who can become saved? Anybody in this room who wants to put their trust and turn to God. It's your choice this morning. God's made a way. You're trusted in baptism and circumcision and church membership and good works this morning. You cannot be saved. You cannot be saved. You'll never go to heaven. You'll not escape hell. You'll never have your sins forgiven. You'll never have a relationship with God. But if you just trust Jesus this morning and turn to God, you can be saved. As we stand to our feet, our heads are bowed and our eyes are closed. Do you want to be saved this morning? You say, well, I got the rest of my life to make that choice. No. Not too long ago, there was a fellow, very young, died. In his 20s. I've been reading the paper this week of a teenager died. Matter of fact, there was a little 5-year-old boy got ran over and died. No, you don't have all the time in your life. You got right now. As God searches your heart, He's looking for faith and repentance there. If God finds it there, He'll bear witness with you. And you'll come on down here. You'll bow your head, bow your heart. And God will give you the Holy Ghost of God. You know, it's time this morning that we stop fooling around. It's time we stop thinking we're something when we're not. It's time we just get really born again. Really, truly saved. By the Holy Ghost of God indwelling in our lives. Christians are praying. Sinners are considering. You've seen Brother Jordan.